Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Come on now. Come on. Well, this is my, you may be seated. This is my better half. Really better half. Guys, you need to look at your wives and esteem them. Hallelujah. We'll be married this May. We'll be 45 years. Yeah. We have four married children, awesome, three young men, and our daughter, 11 grandchildren, and one on the way in May. So we're going to have an even dozen, and I hope they stop there. Birthdays and Christmases are doing us in. Glory to God. Well, I'll bring you back when we're going to pray, okay? Glory to God. I apologize to you. I don't normally like to preach off my computer, but since the Lord got me up again this morning and changed the message again, listen, you know what? I can't bring you a canned message and say I'm going to bring a fresh word to you. That's just not who I am. And I told the church we were in Montreal, that I have over 600 sermons in my computer that are unpreached because I wrote them and God said, I don't want you to use it. So it's amazing. But I want to talk to you real quick. I want to try to get this in. It's called Living Life in the Middle. Living Life in the Middle. We have a choice. We can live our life in the middle, and you'll understand what I'm talking about in the middle very shortly, either in distress or we can live it in joy. I read some things on Oswald Chambers, and he said this, "It is in the middle that human choices are made. The beginning and the end remain with God. The decrees of God are birth and death. And in between those limits, man makes his own distress or joy." I'm going to talk to you about living life between your birth and your going home. Oh boy, he's going to bring us gloom and doom. No, I'm not. See, living in the middle of birth and death, C.S. Lewis said this, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither." Let that sink in. Wow. This is why we should live our lives aimed at eternity. We need to live our lives with an urgency. Why? We need to know that our time here on this earth is short. When I first met your pastor at Ed Allen's church in Leduc, Pastor Ed said to me, "Do you know who that guy is?" I said, "No, but he looks like Moses." But I found out he's not 120, so. Our lives are short. And contrary to what the world will tell us, it does matter what we believe. It does matter that we live in peace. It does matter that we live with a hope and with faith. And it does matter that we have supernatural rest in our lives, knowing that our souls will never die. Come on now. You know, in John 11, verses 25 and 26, by the way, I give you a lot of scripture, and I know this is a scripture church. I made a fatal mistake one day. Pastor Ed said, "You need to go on and listen to Pastor Ron preach." So I went on, and I listened to him preach, and I said, "Oh, my gosh, I can't preach there." So I said, "Let me go down one." So I went to Pastor Mark, and it got more ferocious. So I said, "Well, let me try Pastor Jen." By the time I got done with all three of them, I said, "I'm not preaching anywhere I go anymore, man. You got strong word in this church, and I'm sure you are a blessed church. Blessed." But listen to this. It says, Jesus told her, he was talking to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone," say anyone, "who believes in me will live after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And he says to Martha, do you believe this, Martha? I'm going to ask you, do you believe this? I can't hear you. Do you believe this? You know, 2 Corinthians 5:10 in the New Living Testament says, for we must all stand before Christ and be judged. Uh-oh. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we've done in this earthly body. I'm not making this stuff up. So how should we live our lives in the middle? I'll tell you, shake yourselves every morning that you get up and shake the dust of the world off of you and start to move forward in the destiny that God has called you into. It is not a season for us to possess a passive spirit in our lives. The days of being passive are over with. We are the church of God. We have been born with the blood of the Lamb, and we need to make some noise. Come on now, we need to wake up every morning, we need to rise up, and we need to press into what God has for us. Don't allow yourself to be pushed back or bury your head in the sand any longer. You don't like the news? Pray about it. You know what? Prayer moves the hands of God. I have seen impossible situations turn around. My wife is living proof. They give her maybe a year to live, maybe a little over a year to live. That was back in 1995, and she's still alive and kicking. Come on. You know, when we live our lives in the middle of being born and going home to be with Jesus, it requires us to grow in Christ. Not just sit there and vegetate. No matter what the times, no matter what the situations look like, it is not an impossible task because we are tougher than a defeated enemy. Come on now. There is a strength in you yet to be revealed. I'm going to say it again. Look at your neighbor and tell him, there's a strength in you yet to be revealed. Come on. Stand in the gap. What gap? The gap that's before us many times of where we're at and where God wants us to be. The gap is the battle point. It's time to fight for what God has for you, and it's time to stop handing things over to a defeated enemy. It is not a time to put up the white flag and surrender. It's time to go to war. It's time to believe that if God has called you by name, if he has called you out, and he has put something upon your life, he that begun a good thing in me will complete it to the very end. Come on now. We've got to stop living our lives in defense. We've got to live our lives in an offensive way. We got to push evil out of our lives and move heaven in. We need to let Christ occupy our hearts. We need to plug up the holes. We need to plug up the gaps. And we need to rebuild the walls of our hearts. What have you let into your heart? You know, the Bible says in one version that the heart is the most deceitful thing. Man, that should tell me right now we need to keep our walls up and protect our hearts. It's time to get on the offensive and get off the defensive. Living life in the middle means you are the hunter, and the days of being hunted are over with. Come on. You know, I'm going to read this to you. Psalm 18, verses 37 and 38. I chased my enemies and I caught them. I did not quit until they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise up again. They fell beneath my feet. There's a scripture to chew on. Come on. God wants you and me free. Freedom births God's destiny in our lives. We are not bound to a yoke of slavery anymore. When you said, Jesus, come in my heart, when you went into water baptism and they held you under, the old man, the old woman came off and you came out of that water a new creature in Christ. Come on, don't keep going back to Egypt. Let's run toward the promised land. Living in the middle is not living in disappointment. Too many people are living in disappointment. I said yesterday morning, I had a gentleman come to me last week, and he said, I've given up hope. He says, I've lost all hope. You can't possibly lose hope. Come on. Even non-Christians have hope. Disappointment makes our hearts casual. Disappointment makes our hearts placid. Casual and placidness breeds hurts. Follow me on this. And when hurts come into our heart, hurts will drive our everyday actions. When we live in the middle, we've got to profess Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, not so good times, mediocre times. My God is real. It says that through my God, I can do all things who strengthens me. Come on, we either believe the word or we don't. When we live life in the middle, we need to live a restored life. Joel 2:25 says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Come on now. Living life in the middle means we recover. Don't you know, the enemy's come and robbed and stolen from you? I've got a little wisdom for you. Take back what he's taken from you. He has no authority in your life. You are washed with the blood of the Lamb. Remember, light and darkness can't occupy the same space. So if you've got the light of Christ inside of you, you tell darkness to hit the road. Living life in the middle, when I say a recovered life, that word recover means to rescue, to snatch away, to tear away from the enemy, to pluck it right out of the enemy's hands. I am not in recovery. I have recovered. I've already taken back. Why? We are the comeback kids of Christ. You know, someone said to me, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a karate kid for Christ. Why is that? Father teach. Father has taught me everything. The Father in heaven has taught me his ways. He's taught me, he's shown me his pathways. You know, 1 Samuel 30, verses 16 through 19 says this. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken. Nothing, say nothing, was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything they had taken, David brought back everything the enemy had stolen. Come on, I'm not making this stuff up. It's in there. See, Jesus never blurred the lines between heaven and earth. He knew the difference between the two firsthand. And while he was on earth, he asked us to pray to the Father. And he pointed out who is in heaven. Do you remember what Jesus asked us to pray for? That God's will, come on, say God's will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow, Jesus acknowledged both as being separate, while at the same time, he confirmed for us that choosing heaven starts right here on earth. You living in the middle? What are you choosing? And I believe, this is my own opinion, I believe that he's asking us to choose because we've got to decide where our treasure is. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, so also shall be your heart. So how should I live in the middle? How do I get God's will to be done in my life here on earth as it is in heaven? How do I treasure on earth what you treasure in heaven? You know, Billy Graham said this. You ready? Heaven doesn't make this life less important. It makes it more important. Are you okay? Can I give you? We doing okay? Believe me, we're going to. Oh, yeah, we got plenty of time to pray. I don't know who the gentleman was that was standing right here in the middle. Where did he go all during worship? He had a suit on. Where is he? Ah, my eyes on you. God's got a word for you, buddy. Don't you run out. God knows where you live. Can I ask you something this morning? Is heaven worth hoping for? Is heaven worth running the race? Is heaven worth living an entire life aimed where God Himself made His home? Is heaven more than we could ask or think of or even imagine? And if you say yes to all of these questions, here's a few suggestions I have for you for living in the middle. I've got four of them. I'm going to get right through them because I'm a fast talker, but I do have wind gusts up to 190, so I can get through this. My first suggestion to you of living life in the middle is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Can I say something without offending everybody? I'm going to take a little bunny trail here. That scripture I just gave you, it says Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. Can I say something to you? That your first mission field is your city. I am not against missionaries, but here's where I'm at. I'm in some churches that they're pouring half of their budget into foreign missions and they have not won their city. Just saying. I believe there needs to be a balance. But I'm going to tell you something. Your city, Canada, is ripe for a revival. I'm going to say it again. Canada is ripe for a revival. We're in Montreal, Ottawa, Oshawa. We're in the Toronto area. We're in Kingston, Ontario. We're in Cornwall. We're in Vancouver. We're in Abbotsford. We're here. We're in Leduc. We're in so many Canadian churches. And I said to everybody yesterday, we're seeing more and smelling more of revival in Canada than we are in the States. And the way I look at it is, you have your revival, you call us, we'll be here, and it will trickle down into the United States. I don't care. We just want to be here when it happens. We'll leave you our number. If it starts to happen, we'll get on a plane. We'll be here. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to His people. Listen, you cannot do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. We need to learn to draw upon the anointing. We need to draw upon the Holy Spirit, His unmerited grace, His unmerited love, so that it will outweigh every bit of my limitations and every bit of your limitations. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Come on now. I'm here. You know, God said to me, you know, if I had pom-poms, I'd have them up here, because God says you're going to go and cheerlead for this church because they are on the precipice. You are on the edge of God taking you to a level that you have never seen before. God says get ready to expect to see healings in this church. I'm praying it's already started to happen. And I'm not talking, listen, I'm all happy when people get healed of a cold or something. I'm talking, I want to see Smith Wigglesworth healings. I want to see somebody with no legs grow legs. into the new shoes that have been laid before him. It's not impossible. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, Jesus has the power of God, by which he has given us everything we need to live and serve God. We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory and his goodness. Everything we need is through his divine power. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is the same power that is in us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he will use you to rebuild your regions. He will give you strategies and battle plans. He will give you a new authority for breakthrough. He will put a new authority upon your church, and he will put a new authority upon you. Come on now. Listen. Man, you need to live the resurrected Christ every day. You know, I was just reading in the prayer room. I don't know what. God brought me there, and I was reading about when he resurrected, and they were trying to figure out who's going to roll the stone away. Come on. Duh. How long? I won't say it. He rolled away the stone. Three people went running there. Two ran right in. One didn't. Do you know who it was? Peter. Know what it says? He ran, he got to the door of the tomb, and he stooped down and looked in, and he saw the burial cloths. Can I tell you something? When the resurrection, when we talk the resurrection, it's not time to run and stop and stoop and look in. It's time to run and get inside there. Wow. Number two suggestion. A living life in the middle. Stop living in your past. Oh, ouch. Hand out the Band-Aid, Sharon. Satan tries to destroy our relationship by trying to get us to relive our past. When we relive our past, it destroys relationship with our Heavenly Father. Come on, and you might say, that's not true. Ha, I was the executive pastor in our church and an elder for many years, and I'm going to tell you something. I've watched the past do more damage. What keeps us in the seasons of our past? Two words, wounds and offenses. Oh, boy. Wounds and offenses, by the way, cause pain. And pain can produce fear from moving into the future. But I've got good news for you this morning. The pain of today is your strength for tomorrow. Come on now. Yeah, you can clap. Where does destiny dwell? In the presence. It's in the present. That's where destiny is, but it presses for the future, and you can't go to the future if you're letting the pains of your wounds and your hurts stop you. You cannot reach your destiny. You cannot from the hurts of your path, because they will directly affect your daily life. Fear, rejection, trauma, drama can all steal. It can limit our gifting, and it can stop the forward movement of your destiny. I don't care what people say about me anymore. I used to. I read a book by T.D. Jakes. It was called Let It Go. You know what I discovered? If someone doesn't like me, I'll never be able to change or get them to like me until they have a God encounter. So I've got to let it go and move on. Because if I don't let it go and move on, I'll circumvent my destiny that God has for my life. And so I can't blame anybody else for being benched but me. Wow. This has turned into a Presbyterian church. It's getting quiet in here. Imagine if David lived his past from all the traumas from his past. I'll list them real quick to you. He got overlooked by his father and his oldest brother. He was playing his harp for the king, and Saul tried to pin him against the wall with a spear. He kills Goliath, but no one mentions being paid the financial reward that they were going to give, nor the taxes coming off of his family for killing Goliath. David's promised wife and his actual wife were both taken from him by Saul, and one of them on his wedding day. The very armies that David led turned on him. David defeats the Philistines, but he has to hide with them because he's trying to escape Saul's sword. He returns to Ziklag. It's all burned out. The very men who fought with David and mentored, they all talk secretly about killing him. Now he's got Saul on his tail. His own loyal men are on his tail. And then, to top it all, he gets anointed king of Israel, and because of it, civil war breaks out. Now he has to lead a nation at war among itself. Can I tell you something? David did not fall into depression, and he did not allow all those setbacks, and because he did, none of it produced instability in his life. See, when we let hurts and pains and drama and trauma come to us, we get unstable in our walk with Christ. We get unstable in our walk in the world. And without stability in our life, it's hard to reach our destiny. Come on, am I making sense this morning? You're probably saying, why is he bringing this word? This is not a harsh word. I'm encouraging you because God wants to take you to a new level, and you can't go to that new level if you're still allowing these kind of things to hit you. Don't allow your past to dictate your future. Trauma and drama will destroy your identity in Christ and your destiny if you let it control your heart and your mind. How we respond to trauma and drama will determine our next level of authority and destiny. David did not stop. He didn't get oppressed and depressed, and he kept moving forward. Number three. How do you live in the middle? Know who you are in Christ, and also know that you are valuable. 1 Timothy 1:14 says, you have been trusted with a wonderful treasure. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. You know, God has deposited something in us. The Word of God says that we all have a measure. Sharon didn't get a bigger measure than I did. You didn't get a smaller measure than I did. We all got the same measure. It's what we do with that measure and how we guard that measure is going to determine whether or not we're going to be successful in reaching the destiny God has for us. That word deposit means something left to be watched over, to entrust it with someone. Who are you entrusting your life with? 1-800-PSYCHIC? The daily horoscope in the paper? Better yet, remember Sharon, when we would counsel couples and we would say, who are you getting this counsel from? Oh, a guy I work with. Is he saved? No, he doesn't even believe in God. Who are you going to trust this deposit and this treasure? You know who I'm going to trust? God. Because if he gave it to me, he's going to help me guard it. There is something inside of each and every one of you that is valuable. Don't you let the world tell you you're of no worth or you're not important. You are important. You are a king's kid. You have been bought with the price of the Lamb. You have been adopted by the Almighty God. He wants to see you be successful. And it's not all about money. The world measures success on money. It's not what I'm talking about. Wow. I don't want to ask anybody to guard what God has given me, because God wouldn't give it to me if it didn't have value. God has put items of value in each and every one of us. Satan, hear me now, look at me. Satan comes not to rob the things of value. Can I say this to you? He doesn't come to rob your checkbook or your savings account, or he doesn't come to rob your children or your spouse or your job. He comes and he places doubt in your heart about your checkbook, your spouse, your job. Come on, follow me now. Follow this train. Look, I'm a real simple guy. Just follow it. Just follow the paper trail here. If Satan can get your confidence, come on, then he gets the things of value that God has put in us. He'll get your children. He'll get your spouse. He'll get your job. He'll get your bank accounts. He's got you, because if he can get you to the doubt, if he can get you to lose confidence, he's got everything in your life. Good thing we got rested yesterday, because I feel like the ever-ready battery bunny. Number four, suggestion. Living in the middle requires us to always pray in faith. You knew I couldn't get through a Sunday without talking about faith. We don't pray in faith, we're not going to see results. Why? Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them." Matthew 21:22 says, "And whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive." And someone challenged me on this, and they said, "Well, I prayed for things, and God never answered prayer." And my first comment is, don't stop praying. Second of all, in God's vocabulary is a two-letter word, and he uses it sometimes. No. Charlie, I was praying. I wanted this 5,000 square foot home, and I wanted it to be by a pond because I like to fish and da-da-da-da-da, and God didn't give it to me. Well, when our daughter was 10 years old, if she come running to me and said, "Dad, can I have the keys to the car? I want to go for a drive." I ain't going to say yes. Why? Because I'm against my daughter? Because I just want to be mean to my daughter? Or, I want to teach my daughter to have a little more faith, and maybe if she keeps it up, I'll let her have the keys in 3 weeks? Absolutely not. She was not skilled or at the maturity level that she needed to be at in order to drive the car. So I'm not hurting her, I'm protecting her. And that's what God our Father does for us. But I want it now. You know how many times I've cried that to the Lord? You know what the Lord says? "Do you see golden arches over my throne?" I said, "Actually, I do." He goes, no, "McDonald's arches. This is not a fast food or a fast prayer answering joint." But it should never stop us from praying. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words," oh man, get this, "if we first abide in him and then his words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." You know, Pastor, I defer to you and your team here. You're more scholarly than I am, but nowhere in the Bible can I find where Jesus speaks about unanswered prayer. The only thing I find is James hints, "You have not because you ask not." And that's not Jesus, that's us, because we don't ask. When we were getting ready to, we just finished a 12,000 square foot downtown grocery store for Compassion Coalition, which I oversaw for 17 years. I was the building project manager over the building of the building. And we went to the city council and they said, they said, I don't know if we're going to let you do this. And I looked them all in the eye, all six of them. And I said, you know what? We have not, I have not because I asked not, and you have not because you're not asking not. And they all looked at me. I said, we're about to put up a brand new building in the center of your city that there hasn't been a brand new building in the center of the city in 10 years. How dumb can you be and still breathe? Literally, I said it, the anointing, the architect just kept stepping back because he was with me. He had the drawings under his arms, and he just kept stepping back. I said, are you kidding me? I said, we have been serving the poor for 17 years. We have fed them. We have clothed them. We have put furniture in their homes. We have kept prices at such a reduced rate. Now we're going to put in a full 20 by 40 commercial kitchen, and we're going to feed the senior citizens, and we're going to feed children. We're going to teach them how to cook healthy. We got a chef in our city that's going to come on and do celebrity cooking show right out of our kitchen. I said, it's going to put Utica on the map, and they all signed off on the drawings. We have not because we ask not. You absolutely have to have faith. Can I have the musicians come up, please? Persevere when you pray. No, don't get down and rattle off the list of I need. That's the list you send to Santa Claus. With the Lord, you get on your knees and you start thanking Him for everything that He has done. The last thing, supplication, the worst, the last thing you want to ask for is have a need. Now, listen, someone's sick. I get that. But you know what? We got to persevere when we pray, believing that it will come to you as God said it would. We have to put our faith into action. 1 Peter 3:15 says, honor Christ and let Him be the Lord of your life. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope. Anytime we pray in agreement with the Word, you are praying in faith. And anytime your faith is working in prayer, the anointing is going to be present. Can I say something to you? God wants to blind us to the natural and enlighten us to the supernatural. When we stop operating in the natural and start operating in faith, our spiritual eyes will be so opened and we will hit the target every time. Wow. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, unto you, whatever things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe. Between hope, here it is, this is what I was telling to this gentleman, between hope and faith is prayer. Hope is transferred into faith through prayer. And without prayer, it is impossible to live in faith. So can we wrap this up? Just bow your heads. Please, let our hearts, our souls, our spirit, and our prayers be full of faith. Father, blind us to the natural and enlighten us to the supernatural. There is a fresh healing anointing that's coming to this church. You guys need to get ready. Father, we pray Psalm 3:3 over our lives, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. Father, I will live my life in the middle in you. Father, I am heaven bound. Father, I am eternity minded. Father, I will finish my race strong. For Father, as for my house, we will walk and serve the Lord all the days of my life. Father, I want my words to show my confidence is built on you. Help me to fuel my heart with faith instead of fear. In Jesus' name. Folks, let's live our life in the middle, being eternity-minded and heaven-bound. You're looking at a guy that used to be very materialistically driven. He actually bought into the Prosperity Bible message when we first got saved. Boy, did I get my eyes opened. It's all about him. It's not about us. As much as we think it is, it's not. Father, bless this church. Wow. Someone, before I start this, Sharon, would you please come up here a second? Would someone go get Charlie and his family? Is Charlie here today? The young man, Charlie? The adopted Charlie that I prayed over last year? Hallelujah. Just have him come and have a seat here. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. Because they have kept up the vanguard, Lord God Jesus, Lord, you're about to send a storm. And it's not a storm in a bad way. It's a storm in a good way, Lord God Jesus, where you're about to just unleash the goodness of your glory, a fresh anointing upon their lives. Pastor, I woke up this morning and God said to me to tell everybody that he wants the debt eradicated. He wants debt off of this church. He wants debt off of everybody's life, because what's coming to this house is going to take everything that you need to take care of what God is bringing here. Do you realize you have a true apostle in your midst? You realize that. Everybody's an apostle today, but they're not a father. He's a father. He's an apostle. And God spoke to me and said, get ready, because there's pastors that have turned their backs on you and pastors that have given you a rough time, that they're going to fall into a season of repentance. And they're in way over their heads. God is going to use you to bless them. God started to speak to me about churches that are trying to, they can't make it, that they're going to come to you and say, look, don't let us, we can't even spin it anymore. We just want to come and come under your covering. There's a call on this church. It's an apostolic call, and you're all part of it. Living life in the middle means getting ready to prepare also the kingdom of God, to get it ready for those to come in that need to be here. When you pulled in this morning, I looked at that sign that you had out front, and I didn't see what it said, you know, about the tree. It had the trees or whatever it says. Do you know what I saw? It says, you are about to enter into a place where you will be remade.